Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Anda bersama saya Afizia Zaman dalam Niaga Awani hari ini. Kita akan mulakan dengan perkembangan berikut. Ketika ini lebih ramai pengguna atau orang ramai menggunakan platform digital sebagai medium pembayaran transaksi dan jumlah pengguna juga meningkat terutamanya di era pandemik COVID-19. Dan ini sekaligus membuka lebih banyak ruang dan peluang serta menuntut perniagaan beralih kepada pendigitalan dengan lebih baik. Dan ini terus juga membuka pelbagai peluang untuk inovasi dalam pembayaran digital dan pelbagai produk untuk memenuhi keperluan pengguna. Dan kita mahu bincangkan perkara ini bersama dengan dua tetamu hari ini, iaitu Kong Kok Long, CEO of IOU Pay, dan juga Avinash Gowda, Nutasix Malaysia Country Manager. Dan izinkan saya untuk teruskan temubual ini dalam bahasa Inggeris. Long, first of all, what is buy now, pay later, BNPL, and how can it help businesses enhance the customer experience, especially during the pandemic?
Okay, good morning. It is good to be here. Now, basically, buy now, pay later from the word itself means you buy now and pay later. Now, this is actually an alternative payment method to the consumer, whereby the consumer can buy products at zero interest and able to split the payments to the various tenors that is offered by the merchant itself. Yeah, so based on that, the consumers can then pay back the payments via a debit card or a credit card. Yeah, so based on that, the customer journey during this pandemic means that the customers can then stretch their dollar to be able to buy basic necessities or things that they want. But at the same time, for the merchants itself, it basically helps to increase sales conversion, allow merchants to be able to do transactions online or in-store. And basically from the stretch dollars from the consumer, the merchants can then able to unlock a larger customer base to increase their sales conversion without risk. Yeah.
And what trends have you seen so far with BNPL in other countries? Do people purchase more? Can businesses sell more?
Yes, definitely. Basically, if you look at it, is because it is a different payment option, allowing customers to have the convenience. So basically, it's when the consumer can stretch their ringgit, then definitely it would see people buying more, right? Mm-hmm. And when people buy more kind of thing, is the merchants able to provide such option, then it unlocks the same thing. The customer base will be bigger and larger. And probably with the stretch ringgit, the consumers will then be repeat customers coming in, therefore increasing purchases, both from the consumer's point of view and also the merchants.
And Avinash, surely we need more cloud solutions to reduce the time to market of digital service and enables financial organizations to scale transactions with speed. But can traditional financial organizations keep up with this development?
Well, good morning, Afizi. Thanks a lot for that. What we're seeing now is a major resurgence in COVID-19. And this is impacting not only individuals, businesses, as well as the Malaysian GDP. So going digital is smart for businesses because of the speed and agility and customer engagement that it can drive. Malaysia's digital economy is forecast to grow to 26 billion by 2025 and causing some fundamental shifts that traditional FSIs need to note. For example, we have seen an accelerated shift to digital payments and it's over 864% growth or surge in Malaysia in 2020, just last year alone. Similarly, real-time payment transactions are also projected to grow to 1.5 billion. Globally, additional services such as robo-advisories have grown to over 1.4 trillion in terms of assets under management, with a projected CAGR of 19% and growing. Social trading, peer-to-peer lending, and also the concept of buy now, pay later that my friend Kale just spoke about are all services that are available today. And these are all virtually unknown just a few years back. These days of waiting in the bank queue and waiting for digital services, for services are over. All these new technologies and new offerings are basically eating into the fee-based revenues that banks are used to. And this is forcing traditional organizations to adapt. Bank Negara recognizes this, and they've received 29 applications for digital banking licenses. And you know, many of these licenses requests are coming from non-traditional FSIs. So the only way for traditional organizations, financial organizations, to adapt is by embracing technology. And all of these innovations are happening on the cloud.
And Avinash, when it comes to spending power and innovate, are these traditional financial organizations spending enough on digital transformation? What about their newer and fresher competitors?
You know, Afisi, that's a very good question, because while many traditional organizations definitely have the spending power, the question to ask is, will they spend unless they're forced to? We have several Malaysian-based entities and enterprises who are embracing hybrid cloud and other transformation technology in their regional subsidiaries, primarily because they face a degree of competition that they are shielded from in Malaysia. So it's not necessarily about spending, it's about the willingness to embrace change, and that includes cloud technologies. And that's where we fit in, as Nutanix can offer all the benefits of cloud with the security and management ease that traditional enterprise IT can support. Now, while many of the newer and fresher fintechs and startups choose to be based overseas to raise venture capital and also what they feel is conducive investment environments, government entities like InvestKL and others are trying to win them back. We do have some really great innovation happening here in Malaysia today, and IOU Pay is an example.
And Kok Long, how are you marketing or providing the BNPL service responsibly?
Yeah, basically in providing our services, we ensure that the consumers are aware and educated. We don't want them to overspend just because we're stretching their ringgit, right? So basically, when you buy something via my IOU, you will just see that we will then present that how the breakdown of the payments are made, when they are due, and so forth. Yeah, the other thing that we do in our technology and so forth is that consumers always tend to forget when to pay and so forth. So basically is we will probably give reminders to them, and then we'll do a direct debit from the debit card or the credit cards that they have. So that helps them to adhere to budgets and avoid debts and increasing their purchasing powers, right? So the other thing that that we look at is actually we in the near future, we'll probably be building some positive credit histories based on rewards from institution, and also helping the consumer in building a positive credit history. Yeah, and that's how. Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's how we are providing our services responsibly, so that the consumers don't go into overspending and so forth. Yep.
Kok Long, what are the macroeconomic opportunities that BNPL presents for Malaysia's digital payment and e-commerce industries?
Right. So I think if you really look at it in BNPL space and consumers' behavior, consumers are always driven by convenience, right? They will use the easiest method or things that they think they can afford. So that makes BNPL one of the options that consumers will go for, because it's easiest for them, right? Now, with Malaysia e-commerce on the rise, especially prior to the pandemic, during the pandemic, a lot of consumers or even merchants are switching to online purchases, and e-commerce becomes the staple within our community itself, right? Now, my IOU with our BNPL's offering hits one of the spots, of the sweet spots. Like, it provides convenience and flexibility to the consumer. And the other one, last one, is that one of the opportunities of BNPL brings to the table is that the rise of digital payment. More than 30% of the consumer and businesses in Malaysia are willing to adopt digital payment. And the number will definitely go up, right? So we are still a cash resilient market, but the increased shift towards buy now, pay later, e-wallet, and other digital payment platform is a positive indication that this industry will continue to grow. Yeah.
And will this increase the take-up rate for digital payments gateways?
Definitely, because you know, from the earlier conversation that I said that is that when consumers are able to stretch their ringgit, they will have a tendency, and with the convenience and flexibility, they will have a tendency to plan their purchases more, because their ringgit is stretched, right? And for the businesses itself, this unlocks the larger customer base. And because we pay them upfront for all the purchases, basically then the businesses will then be without risk, right? And this will definitely take up the rate of digital payment for the gateways.
And along, can this pave the way for economic recovery, especially in the retail sector?
Yeah, okay. I think, yes, definitely, BNPL would be one of the key elements for economic recovery due to the flexible payments and stretching the dollars for the consumer and the businesses, yeah? But for the, because of the stretching of the dollar, it means that they have more access to purchase necessary things and return back the returns back to the economy and the road to recovery. As for SMI, SMEs and so forth, basically they are able to transform the merchants into omni-channels because if they are especially in the retail line, they then have a choice to do online and allowing their products to be outreached to a bigger audience, especially on the internet, right? And geographically, if it is on the internet itself, you know, geographically, there's no barrier to the access and reach. Yep. So.
And Avinash, please continue if any other points.
Now, yes, with all the you know, stretching ringgit planning and so forth, then actually merchants are able to then provide better payments and so forth. This then turns off to customers returning to the merchants to buy more, therefore resulting in the sustainability of the business growth itself. Yeah. Now, I think with the digital payment in Southeast Asia, I think there's about US$1.2 trillion by 2025. The region now has about 400 million internet users. Plenty of room for BNPL to continue to grow, potentially become a strong contributor to elevating Malaysian economy.
Meanwhile, Avinash, help us to understand how cloud solutions can drive inclusive financial services. What conducts do we need to connect these two entities?
Okay, so if you look at driving financial inclusion, that is something that all governments are trying to motivate and get done. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the fastest ways is by reducing the barriers for entry. So if you look at the traditional fee-based revenue that many have the traditional organizations run, they've all taken a major hit with the advent of fintechs who are all overwhelmingly using cloud platforms. Online trading platforms, robo-advisories, all of these things democratize services which in the past were only offered to premium banking customers. This advent of cloud-based services are forcing many traditional FSIs to compete or even partner with fintechs. And this is providing more customer choice, which is good to drive inclusion. With the disruption expected with the new digital banking licenses, I expect even more access and inclusion for Malaysia's underbanked and underserved. Take, for example, I mean, what we talked about in IOU Pay. Today, with a drop, Malaysians have reduced purchasing power by almost 17% just last year alone due to all the COVID and pandemic-related lockdowns. And most spending right now is prioritized on basic essentials. Now, at least with the buy now, pay later that my friend mentioned, they have the choice to plan their spending. And the BNPL concept is actually a glowing global trend with a CAGR of over 21% in APAC alone. And APAC is actually leading the way in terms of BNPL.
And Long, can it enhance inclusivity involving the underbanked community and why?
Yeah, definitely it would enhance the inclusivity, yeah, because by now, later, as you know, that we serve the underserved and the underbanked community by helping them with the credits that they want and also building their credit history. Yeah, so and basically is if you look at traditional credits are usually provided via credit cards, loans and so forth. But in my OAU, we have extended it just by providing credit with a debit card. That's probably the start of things. Yeah. And of course, in as a fintech company, we will continue to offer more flexibility financing and better terms and better interest rates than the traditional bank. Yeah. So basically, the BNPL solutions will offer access to banking services for the underbanked and traditional, where traditional banks will not. So definitely there will be an inclusivity to the involving the underbanked communities.
And Long, with more and more consumers adopting digital payment, what key trends and innovations do you foresee very soon? Long?
Yeah, okay. Basically, if you really look at it, is that Malaysia is actually maturing into the Asian e-commerce market. Thanks, of course, to the enthusiastic consumers and policy that's slowly supporting the new age commerce. Yeah. So based on the one of the studies by Mastercard, Malaysia leads the Southeast Asia in e-wallet, which takes up about 40%, overtaking our neighbor countries like Philippines 36, Thailand 27, and Singapore 26. Now, inevitably, the pandemic also assisted in accelerating the adoption for the digital payment among Malaysians. Yeah. So again, as I've stated earlier on, convenience will remain as the key driver to digital payment adoption, especially among the younger generation. Yeah. So based on, again, some statistics again, Gen X has the highest adoption rate for e-wallets in Malaysia, with about 71% of the respondents using digital payment solution in quarter 3, 2020. This is followed by the millennial, the Gen X, and the baby boomers at about 60%, 59%, and 43% respectively. Now, there are still some people who are still hesitant to use digital wallets over security reason. To address that, we can expect to see an increase in use of biometric authentication to avoid identity theft. Yep. Now, we also hope to see more inceptions of policies and regulation to boost digital payments in Malaysia. The licensing of digital banking will open a plethora of opportunities for the digital payment sectors in Malaysia. Opportunities that will probably benefit service providers and the consumer itself.
And lastly, Ganesh, do you see any good examples of these developer markets in C?
Okay. So in Malaysia, as my friend mentioned, there's been a massive rise in terms of digital payments. And in just taking last year example, which grew by 68 million transactions versus only 7 million the year before. Now, of course, a lot of this drive towards digital payments is driven by the pandemic and the resultant spend. But the fact is that this is a testament to the change or the major shift in customer behavioral patterns. And it's not going to change. It's only going to increase from moving forward. Now, if you look at some examples from local examples, I'll mention one of our customers, Tranglo. They were able to successfully scale their businesses and cater for the explosive growth due to the pandemic and the increase in digital payments overall, while reducing their IT costs by 50%. Another great example is another local example is MaxMoney, which is a local exchange and remittance provider, which focus very much on the underserved section of the population. And they were similarly able to serve more customers with much faster response time. Another banking example is an Islamic bank called BJP Sharia in Indonesia, which was able to increase its microservice delivery by over 10 times, leveraging the cloud platform. So we recently ran an Enterprise Cloud Index or ECI study or survey for Malaysian enterprises. And we found that the majority of financial services are 78% in Malaysia are looking to build and scale IT more strategically following the pandemic. And definitely enterprise are looking for a hybrid cloud platform, which can provide them the digital advantage.
All right. Thank you to both of you for joining me today. Kong Kok Long, CEO of IOU Pay, and Avinash Gowda, Nutanix Malaysia Country Manager. Dan itu saja untuk blok yang pertama. Kita akan berhenti rehat seketika. Kita akan kembali selepas ini.